Hello, and welcome to We Were There, Graham Dancers Tell Their Stories, the official podcast of the Martha Graham Dance Company. I'm Joyce Herring, the director of Martha Graham Resources and also a former Graham dancer. In this episode, we hear from Graham alum Kenneth Topping. Kenneth joined the Martha Graham Dance Company in 1985, and under Ms. Graham's direction, danced many of the leading male roles in the repertory. While still dancing with the main company, Kenneth became artistic director of the Martha Graham Ensemble in 1997. That's the second company, now known as Graham II. In 2000, he became director of the Martha Graham School. After wearing all three hats for 4 years, he exits Martha's world in 2004, only to return a few years later. But that's a tale for another time. Up next, Ken recalls a particularly formative afternoon rehearsal from his early days with the company.
Graham School, 1988. The Isamu Noguchi bed, molded into abstract male and female figures, gets pushed to the center of Studio One in preparation for the 3 o'clock rehearsal of Night Journey, Martha Graham's ballet based on the Greek play Oedipus the King. Linda Hodes, associate artistic director, who is conducting this rehearsal, began her dance training at the Martha Graham School when she was 9 years old, enrolling in the Saturday morning children's classes taught by Martha Graham herself. Linda spends more than 4 decades with Martha as a dancer, teacher, and company director. Martha's coming at 4 to work on the new ballet, Linda tells us, so we just have an hour to run Night Journey. Let's try to run it from the beginning without stopping, dancers, no matter what happens. Holding a yellow notepad in one hand and a pencil in the other, she says, finish up what you're doing and we'll start in about 5 minutes. Linda's personality, her bluntness, serves her well in coaching dancers with widely varying temperaments, sometimes revealing the truth and the absurd in the same moment. One time when she was directing me in another ballet in which I am endlessly searching for just the right way to backfall onto the floor to my death, she says, Ken, it's not brain surgery. It's a dance. Just fall to the floor and die already. Her matter-of-fact delivery and deadpan expression make her the funniest straight man in our wonderful microcosm here on East 63rd Street, often bringing relief to our Martha Graham seriousness. Linda runs the rehearsal with David Hochoy, who, after 6 years in the company, becomes rehearsal director when Martha choreographs the Rite of Spring and recognizes his leadership skills with the men's chorus. Linda and David offer the crucial perspectives of both genders in coaching us in Martha's archetypal male and female roles. David's keen eye and task-mastering approach raise the quality of the men's chorus, sharpening our unison dancing in all the ballets. Just cast in the role of Oedipus this year, I'm still finding my way. I dance opposite Therese Cappuccilli, who plays Martha's original role of Jocasta, the queen of Thebes who unwittingly marries her son. Therese is a star dancer, an 11-year company member who often works one-on-one with Martha, something I have not experienced. She's been dancing the role of Jocasta already for at least 4 years. I do my best to meet her at her level, to rise to the occasion. Like all rehearsals with Therese, this one is intense, intense, intense. Placing her slippers under the bench where I'm sitting, Therese says, Ken, Let's go over the duet section when we're standing in front of the bed, okay? I stand up. Absolutely. Okay. As a man in the Martha Graham Dance Company, a woman's company, I find myself in a subordinate position. I take small steps to assert myself with each year of growing confidence. After all, this movement language sprung from a woman's body, not a man's, giving the female dancers the upper hand from the start. It takes a while, years in fact, for us men to earn their trust and their respect. We dancers often say, "The Graham technique is strong enough for a man, but made for a woman." In some of Martha's dances, particularly the Greek dramas, the male characters lack an independent existence, developing only as far as they serve the role of the heroine. In spite of this built-in limit, I still find vast universes to explore in every male role I am given to dance. Teresa and I walk to the slanted Noguchi bed in the middle of the studio and stand on either side of the center line, both facing downstage. The duet begins as I extend my right arm to Jocasta, an invitation. Therese places her hand on top of mine. Our two cupped hands fit together like puzzle pieces, showing our imperial alliance as king and queen while concealing our mother-son bond. Night Journey opens with Jocasta gazing through a noose of rope she holds overhead. In a semi-conscious dream state, she relives her past choices, the ones that lead her to the final moment in the dance where she takes her own life. The duet Therese and I are about to walk through is part of Jocasta's flashback taking place in her mind. Denise Vail, the leader of the chorus, a powerhouse dancer who eventually becomes company rehearsal director after Martha's death, sees that Therese and I are reviewing the duet, so she stomps her foot twice on the floor, the cue that propels Jocasta into movement. My cupped hand turns into a grip when Therese contracts and runs on a diagonal away from me. I stop her by pulling her onto my back as I bend over. Instead of continuing with the choreography, she slides off me and says, "Ken, let me spend more time on the reach before you pull me back. I need more hi-ya." She mimics a feeling of rebound, of stretching out before being pulled back. "Okay, I can do that." We do the movement again. As she pulls away, standing on one leg, reaching out, I keep the tension more sustained. I imagine she's hovering over the precipice of a high cliff. Then I pull her in to drape over my back. As she slides off, I ask, "How was that? Was that better?" "Yes, that was much better," she tells me. "Let's hold on to that, okay?" "Definitely." Feeling a jolt of confidence, I make a request. "Is it possible for you to give me more of your body weight when you fall onto my back?" Without saying a word, Therese does the movement again. When I pull her in this time, she lands on my back with all her weight, wrapping her arms and legs around my torso like octopus tentacles. I hold the position, waiting for her to let go. She finally releases her arms and legs and slides off. Intense, intense, intense. "Does that feel all right, Terry?" "Yeah, that's fine," she tells me. "Let's keep going." The expression, "God is in the details," definitely applies to Therese Cappuccilli. She meticulously dissects movement and motive. From her, I learn to disassemble Martha's choreography, to examine it section by section, piece by tiny piece. Linking this material together, I begin constructing my narrative within the context of the larger story. Therese's consistency and definitiveness provide me with the solid ground I need as I embark on a 14-year journey molding my character of Oedipus, a role I grow to love. "Okay, dancers, we're going to start in 2 minutes," David announces. "Finish up what you're doing, and I'll call places." Teresa and I want to finish walking through the duet. She backfalls to the floor onto her shoulders, face up. I pitch my body over her, landing with my hands on either side of her shoulders, my pelvis contracting just inches from hers. As she writhes into a back arch, the studio door swings open. Hello, everyone. I hope I'm not interrupting. It's Martha, draped in a camel-colored cape, wearing dark sunglasses. She looks down at me and Therese. Don't stop what you're doing. I know you weren't expecting me. Everybody immediately stops what they're doing and stands up to greet Martha. Linda yells out, Martha, I didn't know you were coming this early. I didn't either, Linda, but here I am. David Hochoy takes her arm and walks her to the front where she sits in her white canvas chair next to Linda. I hope I'm not disturbing your rehearsal, Linda. Martha, what are you talking about? This is your company. You can do what you want. Martha smiles. Oh, Linda, if only that were true. If only that were true. Oh, God, it's been that kind of a day, has it? I can only imagine, Martha. Well, maybe this will cheer you up. We're about to run Night Journey. Okay, fine. Martha says, immediately taking over. Dancers, are you ready? Do you need more time? Before anyone has a chance to answer, Martha gestures to Therese to come closer and asks, that's not your costume, is it? Therese walks forward. No, Martha, these are my rehearsal clothes, but I'm wearing the brooch. Martha reaches to the Noguchi-designed jewelry sewn into Therese's dress. She caresses it as if recollecting a moment from her own past. After all, Martha choreographed this ballet in 1947 on Eric Hawkins, with whom she was deeply in love. She continues exploring the brooch, then suddenly pulls her hand back and looks over at me. Are you in costume? I tell her, well, I have my cape here and I'm wearing tights under my sweats. So, the answer is no, you are not wearing your costume. I try to respond. Yes, I'm not. Dancers, we need to see your bodies, she tells us. Please take off your coverings. I know you're probably cold. Dancers are always catching a chill, wearing layer upon layer to stay warm. I understand. Believe me, she wipes her mouth with a white handkerchief. If you need to wear knee pads, that's fine. But we need to see your bodies. Otherwise, what's the point? We take off our leg warmers, loose pants, and sweatshirts. Okay, then, Martha says. Let's begin. David reaches to the reel-to-reel tape machine encased in the wood cabinet in the front of the studio and calls out, Places, dancers! I walk over to my cape, which is lying on the floor at the stage right side, where I make my entrance. The choreography of manipulating the cape freaks me out. It's double-looped and thick. I'm terrified of wrapping my head in the material, which I've done a couple of times in rehearsal, or getting my foot caught in the fabric and falling over. To calm myself, I create a pattern, a kind of ritual in putting on the costume. In Oedipus's solo, I have to throw a portion of the cape around my head like a lasso, punch through an opening a few times, step through circles of fabric, essentially tying the material around my torso in a knot. Then, to free myself, I unravel the whole thing, stripping down to what we dancers refer to as the Halston Speedo. Martha's unexpected appearance raises the terror level to orange. David presses play. Martha sits back and crosses her legs. The William Schumann music creeps into Jocasta's bedchamber, where she begins a night journey into herself. Therese holds the looped rope above her head and begins to sway imperceptibly, as if in a trance. Lyndon Branagh, a lean dancer with long arms, my dear friend who calls me sister, that's for another story, plays the blind seer. He stands next to the bed facing downstage and makes the first move. He raises his staff up to the stars, then contracts his torso to bring it back down to the floor, making a soft thud, his body leaning on the staff as if supporting a broken body. Lyndon dances a brilliant sage, using the staff to guide his walk, capturing the quality of an all-seeing and all-knowing while blind. We run the dance from the beginning with no stops, just as Linda requested. With Jocasta lying dead on the floor directly in front of Martha, Tiresias makes his final entrance from stage left, raising his staff from behind, outlining a circle as he brings it overhead and down to the floor in front. He walks between Therese and Martha, making the same soft thud against the floor that he makes in the opening scene. Martha's clever choreography returns the audience to the beginning of Jocasta's flashback. David says, "Curtain," meaning the curtain is closed, the ballet is over. Everyone slowly drops out of character. The women's chorus is still catching their breath after dancing incredibly high-voltage group sections. I'm relieved I didn't get embarrassingly mangled in my cape during the performance. I say performance because every run-through of a dance in Studio One, whether Martha is present or not, is indeed a performance. I never learned to rehearse without dancing full out. None of the dancers in the Graham Company do. It's how Martha must have rehearsed when she was a dancer. Now it's what she expects from us. It's how she works. David starts rewinding the reel-to-reel and thumbs through his yellow notepad. Therese slowly rises from the floor, gathers the rope, Martha's ingenious prop that represents the umbilical cord, and places it on the bed, then walks over to her dance bag and takes out a bottle of water. Lyndon practices a pitch turn, still wearing his costume of many layers. We are all super aware that Martha's eyes are still upon us. Her mind seems to go a mile a minute as she surveys each of us one at a time. It's frightening and thrilling at the same time as we wait for her to say something to someone. I walk over to pick up my cape, which ends up on the floor at the base of the bed. I bend forward when Martha says, "Dear." I leave the cape and stand upright. "Yes, Martha?" "Come here, dear." She reaches out. "Bring the cord." I take the rope from the bed and walk to the front. Although the other dancers appear to be engaged in their own worlds, I feel everyone's eyes on my back. "When you come downstage with the cord," she tells me, "and you're holding it in your hands," I begin doing the movement she's referring to. "Yes, Martha," I say, as I hold the tangled rope in both hands, facing Martha, then turn upstage, wrapping the cord around my back in an attempt to pull it apart as choreographed. "Yes, keep going," Martha tells me. I turn back to face the audience and throw the rope to the floor, leaving it in the spot where Jocasta will take it to end her life. "There," Martha says, "right there." "Yes, Martha?" "Take the cord in your hands again." I pick up the tangled rope. Martha places her hand on top. "Now, when you come downstage for the last time, be sure to show the audience the evidence of your downfall. Don't throw it away so quickly." "Okay," I say. I turn upstage and wrap the cord around my back as before, straining to pull it apart. Then turn back to Martha and the audience. I imagine my hands covered in blood, as if I've just committed a heinous murder. I step forward, stretching out my arms with the rope to show everyone the evidence of my downfall. Then I intuitively let the rope drip out of my hands onto the floor, rather than throw it down as I had been doing. "Yes, that's it," Martha says. As you can imagine, I'm on cloud nine. Martha just said, "Yes, that's it." Her directive sets fire to my imagination. Over time, I clarify and color in my version of Oedipus. The character's ending becomes an admission of guilt, a confession without redemption. His guilt compels him to gouge out his eyes with his mother's brooch and impose self-exile. Everyone in the cast appears to be tending to wounded feet or getting something from their bags or practicing a step, all the while intently listening to every word that comes out of Martha's mouth. We always listen for possible gems to steal, artistic insights that we can apply to our dancing. But we also listen to see if Martha favors or compliments one dancer over another. We all want Martha's approval. And competition between dancers, male and female, is real and constant. Martha sometimes thrives on playing dancers off of one another, perhaps energized by the drama it creates, motivating her to finish a dance. Now, when I dance Night Journey and I come to the moment at the end where I do battle with the umbilical cord, I hold it out for the audience to see the evidence of Oedipus's downfall. And I hear Martha's soft voice say, "Don't throw it away so quickly."
Come see the Graham Company live. We tour worldwide and host a monthly studio series at our rehearsal space in New York City. You can see our full performance calendar and buy tickets at marthagraham.org/events. If you have a story you'd like us to share, visit marthagraham.org/alumni. Thanks for listening. Until next time.